The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Hey, listen up, guys. Are you hiring? Posting your position on job sites and waiting for the right people to see it? ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply for your job. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Right now, listeners of this show can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Sunnen. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Sunnen to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now, let's start the show.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday. I am glad you all joined us for another very special episode of You're Welcome, Jacob. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well. How about you?
DDP yoga this morning? Yes or no? Straight up. Yeah, no. Every time I hear the I know what's following that. I don't blame you for that. Ask me.
Did you do your DDP yoga?
I did. Heart rate 121.
121. Nice.
16 minutes.
Let me give you one bit of defense in my thing. I'm not a routine guy. I don't like routine.
Really?
I like different stuff every day.
Really?
Yeah. Aside from waking up, I don't like to fall into a then this, then this, then this.
What about a shower? You get up, shower?
Yeah.
You must do something every day.
Yeah.
Cup of coffee?
Actually, I don't drink coffee regularly, so no.
Brush those chompers of yours?
Yeah.
Well, there's a routine.
Aside from like the normal stuff I should do, you know.
Oh, okay.
I guess I just haven't put DDP in the should yet.
All right.
I feel like I'm bad-mouthing it slightly, though. I'm not.
You can't bad-mouth it. You haven't tried it. and the gig is up. You know, this isn't just you and I talking when the red light is blinking here. People can hear you.
Yeah, I know.
So no disrespect to DDP. Disrespect to you, perhaps. Mr. Non-Routine?
You've got a point there, actually.
We'll work on it. All right, so what do you got, man? What's new?
Well, a little Twitter war came up.
On?
Well, I shouldn't say it came up because it's been going on for a while.
Okay.
Is the rubber match, if you will, or the one that some people want to see between Bisping and Rock.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're talking Bisping and Rockhold.
That's the thing. It's been going on for a while. And my biggest question is, why hasn't it happened yet?
Yeah. I mean, there's a few things there. Look, they've split, right? They're one apiece. But what is the point? Bisping has made it very clear, I'm not coming back for a contendership or a championship. Okay. And what are you coming back for? Well, I'm coming back for one last fight. Maybe. Okay, well, you're not leaving me with much there, Mike. What are we doing here? Because I am a fan. So, but tell me which way we're going here. And it sounds like we're looking for one last fight, if that, and it will be a retirement fight. So taking on a contender like Rockhold, man, I don't need to see it. I just don't need to see it because it just doesn't need to happen. And I don't really believe those guys' heat is strong enough. They went one apiece. Bisping took his belt away. There was a time to do that third match. It didn't happen. GSP jumped in. I'm good. Put that one to rest. For me, I'm just saying as a fan that's going to buy the show, I don't have to see it. And I really do like what Rockhold's doing, talking about going up to 205. I like the Gus match. I like him trying to become the number one contender and then fighting his own teammate, Daniel Cormier. I like that storyline. Do any of those things fall in? I don't know. Maybe that's even a stretch. But for me, if those are the two that I'm choosing from, I'll take the latter.
As far as me and Bisping's match, he says he doesn't want a title match. My question is, why not? Why not? Because he thinks he has to defend it like he's honor bound to? Maybe he is, but we're in an era now where it's kind of okay to take the title and not really defend it and walk off and go into the sunset.
Sure.
Even if you don't deserve to, if you will.
I'm guessing where he's coming from I think if they call him, hey, we got a championship fight for you, boom, he suits up, grabs his mouthpiece, and makes the walk. I think what he's saying is, I know the road back. I know the miles I'm going to have to do. I know the heavy lifting I'm going to have to do. And that's what I'm not going to do. So, but I will get ready one last time for one last fight. That's my interpretation, and I think I'm right. I mean, Bisping did enough. He doesn't know us. He doesn't know his legacy, if you will. He doesn't know memories to anybody. I mean, he gave a lot. He gave a lot. And if he wants to have one last fight, I'm all for it. But I will tell you, if I'm promoting that thing, I can't put a guy who's telling me it's his last fight against a contender. I just can't. What if he beats him? Now he goes, now I lose two guys? I lose the guy that told me this is his last fight, and I lose an up-and-coming. It just doesn't make sense. It just simply doesn't make sense. Now, if you have a personal grudge in there, and you're talking about doing some great business, whether it's a one-night only or not, we could have a different conversation. But it doesn't sound like we've got that, right? And a little of it is because both of those guys spread their venom all over the place. Rockhold's just spraying venom on anybody in his way. He's all kinds of pissed off and fired up and two different weight classes and anybody. And there's something compelling about that, but it's not directed enough at Bisping for me to believe that this is the guy. This is the one guy, and this is his one last fight. And now you got to convince me why you should get it. And the same thing goes with Bisping. He kind of spreads it around a little bit too.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't believe Bisping wants to fight. That's one part where he's missed me too. I don't believe he's done a good job of convincing of us that he actually wants that fight. And when I look at it, why would he? I mean, why would he? Right? If you flip who won and lost, you flip the order of it, and Bisping lost second, then yes, I would trust that he would want that. But Bisping, I mean, even when they're even, whoever goes last goes out on top, right? So, I mean, I could tell you that I'm there with Tito. I beat him in college, but he beat me in our fight. I can't let it go. I need to, but I can't. Well, we're one apiece. Nice thing to say, but it's not how I feel in my heart. You went last. You won. So, I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying the grudge there. I'm not buying what would be on the line because the answer is nothing. It's not a contendership when one guy says, I got a foot out the door. In fact, I might be all the way out the door. To which I would say, thanks for the memories and a great career. I just don't see. And then what is Rockhold doing? We got to get a little clarity from him. I mean, is he going up to 205? He's hinted about it. He's talked about it. Now he's calling out guys at 205, which made us both go, I like that. I see that. Well, once you're kind of on board and then you get the fans on board, you're there. So go do it. We need some clarity. I want to jump in whatever pool they want to put me in, right? But they haven't done a great job of telling me what pool that is. And so I'm left over here guessing. But I will tell you, and I think it comes from a respect standpoint. I respect both of those guys. But if Bisping is, in fact, on his way out, as he said, I got to take him at his word, don't I? Sure I do. Don't give him a contender. Don't give him a top contender. Luke Rockhold's a world champion on any given day. Any given day. He's a number one contender on any given day. And apparently at two different weight classes. Same could have been said for Bisping. No question about it. But not when a guy's half out, right? That's my thought.
My thought is to, I kind of do agree with you, is I feel like Michael Bisping also kind of tried to do some heavy lifting, especially last year. I mean, he went in the cage with George.
Yep.
Not many people would have cared to do that. And then he 6 weeks later, he got back up and tried to fight again. And it was like, okay.
Oh, I think it added a few weeks to that. I want to say, gosh, is my memory off? I thought it was 3 weeks.
I can't remember the exact.
It definitely wasn't. But it was awesome.
At least no more than a month.
With Gastelum.
Yes.
Who the hell wants to fight Gastelum?
Exactly. So it feels like he was trying to see what was still in the tank right there.
Did you see? I'm going to switch gears on you. Did you see Costa? Costa, who was going to fight Uriah Hall, that fight's off. He broke his bicep.
Yes,
not a
I
torn
did.
Bicep. We hear about torn biceps a lot, especially with those big strong guys. He broke his. My God.
So okay.
Ouch.
Okay, so let me back up a little bit. Whenever I hear the word broken and torn, I'm told by doctors because I've torn both my ankles actually. Tear is a worse thing. Worse injury. If he broke his bicep, does that mean the muscle broke or his bone broke?
Well, my understanding, I'm not a doctor, but I thought only a bone could break. You can't break a muscle, can you?
You can tear it.
Yeah, you can tear it. Yeah,
that's the official word. Okay, so he broke his bicep.
Yeah, he broke his bicep. Now, there's all sorts of different breaks. You could have a little tiny fracture in there, whatever. But just as I hear the break, oh, man. I think, ouch, how did you do that? What possibly hit? You know, it wasn't an arm bar. It wasn't a submission. Those are designed for the joint, not the actual bicep. Either way, hope he gets better, but that fight's gone. I was looking forward to that. I thought that would be a fun fight. But now you get Uriah Hall back in the lottery there. Who's going to draw that? Who's going to draw that name out? Right? Fun fight. Anytime he fights, it's going to be a fun fight. Right. But I liked that one. I liked that one a lot. Now, I knew Costa. I knew Costa from Ultimate Fighter Brazil. He was on that. He was on Vandalay's team. So I spent some time with him. He was a really nice guy. So I was interested in that matchup. And I really thought Uriah matched up well with him. I think Uriah would have won that fight. So who knows? I mean, who can sit and speculate? But it's off. It is off.
But who's up for Uriah now? It's down the road. It's down the road for sure.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, I take that back now.
A lot of times they will try, if a fight falls apart through one guy, they'll try to keep the other guy still on the card for anybody that bought tickets or was anticipating that day. Right, for good reason, they'll do that. So I don't know. Maybe it's musical. Uriah Hall is not an easy guy to get opponents for, period. The end. And his record, you know, he'll go up, he'll go down. He's a regular athlete like that. But he's scary as hell in any which way, right? Any way you want to do it, there's just not many guys with that skill set. There's just not, with that explosiveness, with that dynamic, right? There's a lot you have to deal with when you're dealing with Uriah Hall. So I don't know. I don't know whose name will come out of that. I mean, they had to go to an undefeated, you know, 11-0, just beat a former world champion. They had to go. That's who they had to find that would sign on that contract and say yes. Not an easy spot to fill.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Dang. What was your worst injury ever? Let me back this up. How is your
shoulder?
Your shoulder doing?
It's doing very well.
I haven't heard a lot about it. Is that no news usually means good news?
Yeah, that's right. And I think maybe I blew it out of proportion from the beginning anyway. I mean, it was never that bad. I think I told you that. It was never that bad, but there was something there. So I went and had it looked at and X-ray and CT and the follow-up and all that bit. I did go in. I was cleared. I went in and I did a week of working out, and then the final day we spar on Saturdays. I went in and sparred, and it hurt after that. It was sore. It hurt. It was sore. Bottom line is, man, there's nothing here. There's nothing here to see. I can tough this thing out, but, you know, you're asking me about it. Yeah, I notice it. I notice that it's there a little bit with certain movements I do, but it did hurt a little worse after sparring. Which I suppose makes sense, right? It's not going to get better through sparring. But, I guess.
Okay, feeling good. Back that up to, have you ever broken your bicep? I'm just curious.
No.
I'm just curious for injury stories now all of a sudden.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever broken anything. I mean,
aside from the toes and
nose, finger. I don't know if I ever had a broken toe. That would probably hurt pretty bad, wouldn't it? Finger hurts pretty bad. Yeah, finger hurts. But, you know, and that's just like from the time I was born. From the time I was born to now, nose and finger, I've been lucky in that regard.
Really?
Yeah.
No nose broken.
No, I have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
There's a move in wrestling.
Impressed.
There's a move in wrestling. A 5-point throw is what we call it, a belly to back. I guess you see it in MMA too, but a suplex. It's like one of the more superb or supreme moves that you can do. I remember exactly where I was, Park Rose High School. Got a guy up, belly to back, threw him, landed right on my face, broke my nose. That sucked. It really sucked, but I don't have a lot of injury stories. You're asking for an injury story. I want to give you – I don't have any good ones. I mean, that was way back when I was a kid. Didn't even have anything to do with fighting, so there you go.
I guess that still shows how tough you are.
Yeah, no injury story. Yeah. I don't know if that's tough or not.
Even I've cracked a bone a few times.
Yeah, but had some luck in there. Hey, what's Tyron Woodley going to do? Why do they not have a match lined up? I mean, it's RDA, right? Dana said it's RDA. Oh, that was made very clear. Tyron's not hurt, RDA's not hurt. What's the holdup on that? What am I missing? Tyron doesn't want the fight. He wants somebody else. That's okay, but, I mean, at the end of the day, you still sign. I mean, you can want whoever you want, but eventually a date gets put in front of you and an opponent, you go do it. What am I missing on that?
Are they trying to line up the correct day?
I have no idea.
We are just talking about yesterday, 226 and 225 even now is getting full. Are they waiting to go one past? Is that it? But even then, I'd expect to see some sort of news.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question, though. Have you seen anything past July, past 226? I haven't.
No.
Because everyone's just right there.
But they're not all full, right? 226 is the heavyweight title. Is that right? That's DC Okay, and that's the one DJ and TJ are trying to
wrap up on that one. It's not full, though. And by no means is it full. I just haven't heard anything past that. And I'm wondering if that's the case now, if everyone's just like, oh, we can't fight anywhere near that. No one wants to fight after that day. I mean, who wants to go after the world champ fight? That's like the suckiest position.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah, no, you can look at the charts like a market. For sure, when it peaks, boom, it goes right back down. And that is tough, being the very next week. Very tough. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but I am confused why that one hasn't been signed or dangled or thrown out there. When's the last time Tyron was in the cage? Who did he fight last? Was it Maya? I mean, that wasn't exactly recent.
I don't remember. If it was Maya, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Let me check.
I love that fight. Tyron RDA, I love that fight. And I get where Tyron's resisting it. He's going, hey, RDA, you haven't done your side of this. You haven't done a good enough job making people want to see you. I see where the frustration would come, but I will tell you as a fan, wow, that's a good fight. Particularly the way RDA looked against Lawler. It's a fun fight.
Yeah, that was Maya last year.
Yeah, what month?
July. So almost a year now.
Wow. Wow, with no injury? I don't think Tyron ever suffered an injury. With no injury? That's a long time out.
Just constant defending, too. I mean, you'd expect at least someone to be calling him out.
Yeah.
No, and it's just RDA right now, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I haven't heard much of RDA talking either. So it's just kind of a business as usual thing, which is odd. It really is odd to me.
Big miss by RDA. I mean, I think that's where Tyron is pissed off, going, hey, I'm going to fight somebody. Yeah, I'm going to fight somebody. If you're going to fight me, come on, do your part. Even when Tyron comes out and goes, oh, I'm not going to fight you, you're not a big enough name. That is part of the promotion. People miss that. Every statement he makes, it's all part of it. But now he needs the other guy to respond and do it the right way. And just going, oh, you don't want to fight me, I'm not a big enough fighter. You know, come on, man, think this through a little bit. Get a lesson in psychology. Go sit down with a few people. There's better responses than that. There just are. And what's going on with the women, too? Now, Amanda Nunes is fighting Pennington. I mean, I know that fight was agreed to when Cyborg, you know, jumped in against Yana, but I thought they were going to separate that fight. Are we going to get to see Amanda and Cyborg? And if we are, I guess it's down the road if Amanda's got to go do this Pennington fight.
Well, the next big women's fight is it's Rose and Joanna.
Yeah.
That's April 7th, right? I think that's right.
I think that's right. Brooklyn?
Yeah.
All right, so that's right. On the Khabib and Ferguson card.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, Khabib came out today, said, I'm going to make this fight look easy.
Did he?
And as condescending as that is, it's very hard to say he's not when he's made all 25 other one of them look easy. I don't even know what he 24-0, 25. I had somebody tell me off on Twitter, get it right. He's 26-0, or I called him 24-0. Get it right. He's 25. I don't even know.
He's undefeated.
That's my point. I don't even know how many asses that guy's whipped. I just know it's all of them. Hey, Khabib, how many guys did you beat? All of them. Oh, okay. Then who cares about 25, 26? Who could say that? Hey, Khabib, you've been at this about a decade. How many guys you beat? Beat all of them. Oh. How many rounds did you lose? None. Oh.
I've got
and you're going to make Ferguson look easy? Well.
Back it up now.
I guess you've got the right to say that, don't you? I may not agree with that, but I might when it's done. My goodness. I mean, those are two killers. Those are two killers in there. You know, so was Eddie and Connor, though. But it wasn't a competitive fight. It just wasn't. You know, at that weight class, you can have the two best guys, but someone can just kind of run over the other one. It just happens that way. All weight classes. But, you know, we see it a lot. We see it a lot at 55. What do you make of that fight? I mean, that's coming right up. It's time for an opinion. You ready to give one?
You know, it's not a slam against Khabib. Just the same old thing. You know, for now, I'm going to say Ferg. I might change my mind. I just might change my mind. I feel like Khabib just has a little bit, kind of shooting himself in the foot as far as reputation and all that. I mean, I could bring out the whole weight missing weight stories. I don't really want to do that.
Boy.
There's
some drama there. He's no lock to make weight, man. He is no lock to make weight.
That's the
point. What a mess.
That's the point. And so I do believe he wants to fight very badly. So does Ferg. This fight is going to happen one way or the other, especially with he who shall not be named, Conor McGregor, or the belt that's going to be stripped pretty soon, most likely, is coming up. They both want that fight. They want to be champion. This could more or less be the championship fight. So.
Oh, it is the championship fight.
Yeah. They just haven't been stripped yet, officially.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, in the next couple weeks, then.
Well, I'll quote you on Dana. As soon as the first punch is thrown, Conor is no longer champion. He is stripping him after the bell rings. You know, they were speculated he'll strip him after the weigh-ins. And he's like, no, 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 no. There's too much slip between the weigh-ins and the fight. I'm not even doing that. As soon as the first punch is thrown, it's like, okay, I mean, that's pretty clear.
I'm on board with that one. Yeah, that's
you
a
call
good
that bizarre if you want, and maybe it is.
It
but
makes sense.
It's pretty damn clear.
It definitely makes sense.
I get it, too. I've got no problem with that. It is weird. It's a weird answer, but I get it. Like, okay, here's what I will tell you, and here's what I was hoping to get from you. If Tony's going to win that fight, how? Because I can tell you, if Khabib's going to win the fight, I can tell you how, based on evidence that I've seen throughout every single fight of his career, because none of them have been different. None of them has he hit a flying triangle or gone out and, you know, kicked the guy in the leg so many times he couldn't stand. No, no, no. It throws you down, beats the hell out of you until you can't take anymore. And the ref either pulls him off or you roll over and give him your back and make it look like you got submitted. I mean, every time. So can Khabib throw down Tony and stay on top and pummel him? That really becomes the question. Sure. Sure he can. Yeah. But he will get more resistance out of Tony than he gets out of most guys. And Tony is not only a wrestler, he's a very good wrestler. People forget that because Tony is more than happy to go to his back. And, you know, he's really proud of his black belt in jiu-jitsu from Eddie Bravo. So he loves to go out there and show respect to Eddie by working on techniques that Eddie has shown him. He's more than happy to do that. But the one thing that people do miss, if you go back and you study, you know, let's just say his last 10 fights, he doesn't have to go down. He does not have to be on bottom. People are confusing that. They are confusing when he gets taken down that he is taken there and forced there. He is choosing that position. And then he's very nasty from there. He's nasty with the elbows. You remember what you saw against Kevin Lamb? They were just mean-spirited elbows to the head, looking for submissions, making you work. He has a little bit of a different ground game. But what people will miss if they don't know him, if they don't have a little bit better trained eye, he's not getting taken down as much as it looks that he is. Guys are getting in and he's going, great, let's go to the ground. I'll show you what I can do from here. And I offer that to you because when we can reasonably assume Khabib's game plan, and if you go back and watch their fights, it looks like, well, this is the perfect guy to do that game plan with. That's what you're missing. Can Khabib get Tony down? Yes, he can. Can he get him down whenever he wants and get him down as easy as we've seen Tony go down? No, Tony is allowing that to happen. He's allowing himself to go to those positions. He's a good wrestler, very good wrestler. But he doesn't always choose to use that. He doesn't mind being on bottom. He might go out there one time with Khabib, give up that position and go, whoa, that was a bad idea. He has the skills. It's going to surprise a lot of people. I want to call this early because I'm right on this. He has the skills to then change his mind in the fight. Most guys don't. He can change his mind after one time down and go, I'm not doing that again. Khabib may force him. That's where the battle comes. Khabib may force him into that spot. But it's not a foregone conclusion. If you go watch the last 10 Khabib fights, you're going to know what Khabib is going to do and want to do. If you go watch the last 10 Tony fights, you don't know what Tony is going to do and wants to do. He has a different skill set, and he only brings it out when he has to. Remember I said that?
The way you're describing this sounds like, okay, we were talking about this a little bit a couple weeks back, just the comparison of fight styles. Khabib has that big O at the end of his record, implying that every game plan he's used, which it seems like in the last 10 you were mentioning is only one, is so good, no one's figured out how to beat it yet.
Yep.
It seems like only you have a game. Well, obviously, the only way to beat it is to have a better game plan. But now it seems like he's going up with his unbeatable game plan that we've seen so far. And he's going up against the guy who can do the master of everything. That might be the only way to knock down Khabib, unless you want to beat Khabib at his own game, which is just get to him first and put him on the ground first. When was the last time someone tried that, like officially,
well,
trying to flip on Khabib?
I had never even considered that because I've never seen it. I've never seen anybody go for a takedown on Khabib. I've never seen anybody even get to a leg, get to the body, get to a front headlock. I've never seen it. That doesn't mean in 25 outings it hasn't happened. I'm going off of memory here. I can't recall a time I've ever seen that. So that's interesting. What if Tony did come out and went to try to get on? I mean, I was just assuming as I think most, that Tony's going to try to avoid being on bottom, meaning he stays on his feet.
For the time being, yeah.
I had not considered that Tony tries to get on top. That's interesting. Tony does have the skills to do it. Khabib's just such a master grappler. But if you look at it on his face, Sambo sucks. Sambo's always sucked. And I don't believe Khabib is a Sambo player. I think somewhere he just wanted to pay respects to Sambo. I believe he got his skills that he got being Dagestani, and I believe he got them in a wrestling room. But he clings to that Sambo. You know, in the history of them setting up that cage, there's never been a contender, let alone a standout, that was good at Sambo. It sucks. It's not real. It's a fake sport, right? You'll have a lot of fake sports that you'll get some powerful military to do. So then you get to hang your hat on the power of that military, and it earns respect. And Sambo is the martial art of the Russian military. The Russians have a very good military. So it adds credibility to Sambo. Nobody's stopped to think, well, those sons of bitches have guns and tanks too. So that they're not really out there doing this Sambo with their Sambo jackets on, okay? So it's not really this great of a thing, but every now and then you will get a guy that for whatever reason to pay respect to the military will pay respect to the art. Fedor was one of them, you know, just to throw a name at you. Oleg Tektarov. I mean, these guys, you could search. You got to go back to 1993 to pull out just less than a handful of names. I'm saying this because whenever I make these very clear and accurate and intelligent statements that evoke history and reality, I then have people that like to come and tell me how great Sambo is, right? Like anywhere in the world, there's a Sambo arena where we can go figure this out. Like, we can go watch the Olympics and go over to the Sambo village, or we can go to the NCAA and get a scholarship in Sambo. Or guys are walking around the rough street somewhere with their Sambo jackets looking for a competitor. Man, Sambo's a joke. And anybody, I'm actually now taking joy in the fact that I know I'm going to offend a bunch of people. Let those crybabies cry. Sambo sucks. But Khabib doesn't. Khabib doesn't suck. He just pretends he does Sambo. That's a wrestler right there.
So with that in mind, I'm still with Ferg, though. I am. I'm banking my money at this moment, and aside from all the fact that of the past history of Khabib and just the uncertainty, if you will, considering the fight, I am banking right now on Ferg's smarts, his skill and versatility.
Yeah.
That's what I'm banking.
Man, it's not a bad bank.
I'll possibly change my mind. I don't know. I have no idea.
Tony Ferguson's walking around with a 12-pound gold belt that says he's the baddest dude in the world. So,
sure.
Yeah, if you want to dismiss... dismiss Ferg, I mean, that's a little bit foolish to do, but I do think at the end of the day, I think we are complimenting Khabib. I mean, he's got a body of work there too. And sure, he was, you know, what do you want to call it? Unprofessional? Lazy? What do you want to call it? He doesn't make weight. He's got a couple of marks against him, but he's got a big fat goose egg when it comes to that record. You know, maybe he didn't do all the stuff he agreed to do ahead of time, but once they got in there and said go, 25 out of 25 times, he went. And while you're thinking about that, think about this. You guys like saving money, right? You can save some cash at the supermarket, at the department store. There are so many opportunities to be smart and to save money. Well, how about saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance? And the best part is you can do it right from home. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It may just be the most rewarding thing you do today. In addition to listening to this show and teasing Jacob because he wasn't certain that Khabib and Tony were fighting for the real championship.
I was just questioning the belt position at that point. I'd seen the pictures with Ferg with the belt around him. I'm like, yeah, but so does Connor at this point. I got to be fair. Got to be fair.
Yeah, did you?
When is he stripped? That whole thing. I didn't hear that comment that Dana made.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Hey, everyone. I'm Wade Keller, and it's WrestleMania season. So be sure to subscribe to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast here at Podcast One. I produce two new shows each week. Every Thursday on our flagship show, I'm joined by a co-host from the wrestling journalism field to talk about the hot topics in WWE and elsewhere. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen? chosen one. He did. And I was frank with him. And I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as the perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in and just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say that this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or on the Podcast One app or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Now back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Did you see that Bellator signed Krokop?
No.
All right, so Bellator not only signed Krokop, they signed him for an opponent. He's going to take on Roy Nelson. I like that fight. I'll tell you this, though. So Krokop gets signed, and it turns out he's under a suspension from USADA. So the media tried to dump this on Coker's lap. You know, how do you sign a guy that's on a suspension from USADA? I'm going, wait a second. You're going to drop that on Coker? That Krokop has some side deal with USADA? I'll tell you this, and here's what Coker said. He told the truth. He goes, well, he's fought since his time in the UFC. USADA, as far as mixed martial arts goes, is exclusive to the UFC, so he's fought since then. Why would I not assume that he's clear to fight? Well, that's a perfectly reasonable question, and he has fought. Krokop's fought, I think, twice. But there is more to this story, and Krokop's hands were clean on this. I'll tell you what happened. Whenever you do a drug test for anybody, we're talking USADA right here, commissions or anybody, before you do the test, you have an opportunity to disclose anything you've taken, from medications to supplements to vitamins, whatever you might have put in your body, you have a chance to write it all down. So Krokop had a bad shoulder, and I think he's living in Croatia at the time, and where he lived is relevant to the story. So he had his bad shoulder, some kind of like a shoulder surgery or some kind of repair he needs, and the doctor gives him a form of growth hormone, which is completely appropriate, medical, necessary treatment. So as soon as Krokop gets that medicine from the doctor, he's now faced with a question. Do I want to take the advice of a doctor, and do I want to focus on my health, or do I want to say, no, don't do the treatment, and let me cross-reference this with this organization called USADA, of which I'm in that pool too? Well, what's a reasonable person going to do? They're going to go with the advice of their doctor. They're going to fix their shoulder. That's what Krokop did. So now USADA comes in. Krokop mans up right away. Right away, he writes that down, trying to fix my shoulder. Here's what I took. USADA goes, okay, well, we have a problem with that. And then they take his sample. They do the test on him. Sample comes back clean. Turns out Krokop was wrong. The doctor either didn't give him that or there is another option, which it cleared his system. Either way, from an integrity standpoint, Krokop is completely intact. He did not fail a test. He was not accused of taking a banned substance. He accused himself. He said, my understanding is this is what the doctor gave me. Science said the doctor didn't give him to him, that he's wrong, but let that lie. Krokop never complained. He manned up. He fessed up. Was never caught. That's relevant to the story. The worst I've ever seen under USADA would be BJ Penn. BJ Penn is officially an USADA drug cheat. Officially. Sentence, suspension, served it. BJ was never accused of taking a banned substance and never did take a banned substance. Wasn't even accused of it, but is officially an USADA drug check. How's that happen? I could give you the story on how it happens, but go look that one up. It gets a little bit confusing, and nobody's wrong in this story. Nobody's wrong. It's just sometimes the rules aren't completely clear. So Krokop, what's he do? He ends up going to fight in Japan. A reasonable person is going to assume if he's fighting anywhere, then he has served whatever suspension that would prevent him from fighting, right? Well, not so fast. Japan is not a member of the ACB, so it doesn't fall into that database. Now, the ACB will let you go fight places that aren't part of their organization, and they won't even condemn it if you do it. But this is what Krokop did. He fought outside of the ACB. Yeah, it'd be like you and I going, hey, let's do something right now. You know, let's arm wrestle right now, by example. And the winner's the Olympic champion. We can say we're the Olympic champion, but the IOC isn't going to recognize that, right? Well, so the ABC kind of works that way, too. They go, well, we regulate martial arts. And then you get another organization that goes, well, we're doing martial arts. And they're going, well, And I don't know about that. We have the unified rules and we have our own process, and you're outside of that. I'm not sure I agree. So the relevance is Krokop went and he did have a couple of fights since this USADA situation. He comes over to Bellator, tells Coker, I want a contract. Great, love to have you. I've even got an opponent for you in Roy Nelson. You're not under any suspension. I checked the ABC database. Your name's not in it. So let's do the fight. And then the media tries to put that on Coker? Come on, man. His hands are clean on this one. And frankly, so is Krokop's, and so is the ACB. Everybody's is. He can't fight in the organization and be part of the USADA pool. Apparently, there's some, I don't know what his suspension, I think he got 2 years, but he's got to be, that's got to be close to up. I just thought it was a little underhanded that they went to Scott Coker as though he was supposed to come in and regulate at a higher level than what they were doing in Japan. Ryzen, the last promotion he fought in, which is a reputable promotion, particularly in that part of the world. And he's supposed to regulate at a higher level than the ABC database. That's not on him. That's not on Coker.
You know what they say? Whoever's in charge is their fault.
Sure.
Yeah, that's too bad. But
well, they didn't like his answer. Here's what they tried to use against him. Coker goes, I didn't even know he was on. I didn't even know he had this USADA thing. He just fought in Japan. In fact, he fought a couple of times. He called me up, says he wants to fight. His name's not in the data, but I didn't even know he had this. Oh, how did you not know? This was the attitude, right? Scott Coker has never told a lie. Camera's right on him. He never told. And they're trying to hold him to a standard that he should know? I'm a fighter within Bellator. I'm a fighter within the weight class. I have a beef with Krokop. I'm likely to line up with it. Jacob, I didn't know. I still don't know. I still don't know. I think he got 2 years from USADA. I think that's right. And I know that was a meaningful period of time ago. I can't say if it had been 2 years. We'd have to get out a calendar and check that. I don't know. How in the hell is the executive producer of a television product in Scott Coker? How's he supposed to know? I thought that was a little bit weird. But I do also want to say this. Because Krokop is owed this. Krokop never tested positive for a banned substance, ever. Krokop was honest, which ended up to his own detriment, didn't matter to him. He was a man of integrity. His integrity stays intact. And if I had any message to Krokop, it would be simply, I'm glad you're back and welcome. Welcome to Bellator.
What do you think of the fight for Roy Nelson? Is that a good matchup?
Man, I don't know.
That's a ways away.
I think it's fun. I do think it's fun. You know, Roy brings something special to the table. Roy's got a little marketing gimmick. He's tougher than all hell. He can take a punch. He can give a punch. He's a pretty straightforward guy. But Roy will put you to sleep. Krokop is a very special talent. He kicks probably the hardest kicker ever in MMA. Who else would it be? Chuck Liddell, maybe? And Krokop's bigger, so I would think Krokop kicks harder. I think he kicks harder than Mark Hunt. Mark's more of a puncher. He did the kickboxing, but he's more of a puncher. I think Krokop's probably got the best kicks in all of MMA. Roy's a little heavy on his feet, but when a guy kicks, Roy will throw that right over the top, put you down. Roy does not have chin issues. Krokop has chin issues. So you ask me if I like the fight. Man, I love the fight.
I got to bring this up too, because we brought up Roy Nelson. What do you think of this Mitrione Nelson
out.
Twitter war?
I'm out. You feel free. If you want to have a dialogue, you go right ahead.
I thought
it was unnecessary roughness.
You got a dog in the fight on this one?
I thought it was unnecessary roughness. Those guys are now one apiece.
I love it. You know what? It creates a story after this whole Grand Prix is over. I love it. The minute you said Krokop and Nelson, I was like, wait. What about Mitrione and Nelson? They've got a beef now.
Sure,
this is a real thing now. It's gone beyond the fight thing. It's become a personal thing.
Oh boy, I'll tell you this: where I'm lost on that one. I just didn't agree that the fight was controversial on any side of it.
I didn't think so.
Apparently, so you and I had done a piece on this right after the fight. Remember Toegate? Right, Mitrione came out and said Roy hooked the fence with his toe, and that's why he stayed in that position, dropping bombs right on my face, and I'm pissed about it.
Yep.
And I told you I can't weigh in on it. I was there. I didn't see it. There's no video of it. I never saw it. Well, I had fans come back and go, Chael, yes, there is. There is a video of it, and Roy's toe is outside and hooking to the fence. Now, I just don't know.
My question is,
I don't see a problem in it.
Who hasn't had a a finger slip through the cage that they used.
Yeah, and you,
in
your
almost
finger,
every fight,
that's
or
exactly,
toe or whatever.
That's right. And so your finger can go outside the cage, but the rule, and that's fine. But the rule says you cannot then, you know, bend it back and clench the cage. Same would go for your toe. And I've never heard of it happening, but it would still be an appendage that you have. I mean, if you hit the, what are you going to do? Your toe goes out. Well, apparently you're not allowed to curl it and hook. And Roy is being accused of. I understand that it's kind of a non-issue, but for Mitrione, who's then stuck in that position and taking elbows, he said his piece on it. I just can't confirm to the fans, even though people have reached out to me and said, no, it was on video, and I did see it. I haven't seen it. I have to stand by that. I haven't seen it. I didn't go back and research it, in fairness. But I didn't see it. So, and then the other side of it, so I don't see the controversy there against Roy. I don't see it. I also don't see the controversy against Mitrione in the win. It was 2-1, period, for me. That's how I had it. I'm a pretty good judge. I'm not a great judge. I'm a pretty good judge. But on this one, I didn't even think it was close. I didn't need clarity. I didn't need to sit down with anybody. I saw it 2-1. The judges saw it 2-1. I didn't get the controversy. And I don't even think you would have had a live arena booing the decision had you switched up the rounds. Largely an audience is trained on whatever we see last is what the entirety was. So what you saw last was Roy Nelson kicking Mitrione's ass, and when the decision comes, they don't raise Roy Nelson's hand. Well, I think if that would have happened in the first round, and then the next two was Mitrione landing all those big shots and bloodying him up, I don't know that you would have heard those boos. So I don't see the controversy, but I will tell you, unnecessary roughness. Unnecessary roughness as of late.
As of right now, though, I think it's fun for the future. This fight is definitely going to be happening.
You're into the drama?
I totally am into the drama.
I can't blame you.
I love
drama's
it.
Fun. I just know these guys personally. Maybe a little bit different perspective there. But are you good on this topic? Can we get off this topic?
From a fan standpoint, it's fun.
Yeah,
let's move on.
What did Mark Twain say? If you're in a hole, quit digging.
Quit digging.
I want out of this, man. I want out of it from the beginning.
I don't feel like I'm in a hole.
Just had a bad feel.
Anyway. We have to talk a little bit about the fight this weekend. We've got Verdum versus Volkov. That's the main headline coming up. How do you like it? I have a couple thoughts about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Volkov versus Verdum, for me, I got to start with this. There's always pushback. Verdum's last opponent wasn't terribly known. He was tougher than hell. He was a top 10 fighter. When you're talking about Volkov, he's nasty. I mean, he's in really good shape for a heavyweight. I don't think enough gets made out of that. He'll start everything with a jab, and then whatever's and that jab you don't really have to worry about. He's just doing it to measure you. But whatever comes behind that has bad intentions. He's also a guy with some tremendous courage, right? I've heard arguments that Verdum's the best heavyweight ever. I could make that argument pretty successfully. Now, I don't know that he would get my vote as best ever, but I don't think he has to, right? If he's in the conversation, imagine how good you have to be in that conversation. He was the world champion. He beat Fedor. He beat Fedor, who was the other world champion from Pride, and there was always this big debate. Verdum is something special. He's also the right size. He weighs in about 139 pounds, but he stands about 6'4". So he's long and lean. He's not one of these big, sluggish heavyweights. He's in the five-round club. He doesn't get intimidated. You know, go out and see his fight with Cain Velasquez, and you have to remember that time frame. Cain Velasquez was the most feared heavyweight to ever have stepped in there. Verdum, that was no big deal for him. Verdum is very reckless. That's what makes him so dangerous. It's what makes him so effective. It's also the one notch against him. He goes out there and fights like he does not care if he's going to get hit, if he's going to get clipped. He will put himself in very dangerous positions. 1 out of 20 times, that bites him in the ass. And you never know what time that's going to be. You never know when is that time when his hands down, when him faking a kick and leaving himself open up top to set something up, when is that time when one of these heavyweights is going to reach out and touch someone? That's the only problem you really have with Verdum. Aside from that, when you break him down, he's nasty. And don't forget, he's a decorated jiu-jitsu practitioner who's gotten so good with his hands and his feet and his elbows, that he doesn't even go to the ground very often. Guys don't want to put him there. He doesn't really try to take other guys there. He stays on his feet, and that's not even his forte. Something very special there. But he's a hard guy to say is a lock because he is risky.
My thoughts about Verdum, he's already lost to Overeem a couple times, lost to Miocic. My question is, who's Ngannou fighting next? Do you remember off the top of your head?
The Beast. He's got Derek Lewis.
Okay. If Ngannou wins that and Verdum wins this weekend, they're facing each other. That's
really?
My call. That's my call. I think so.
I would love to know your rationale behind it. I love the fight. I hope you're right. But what's your rationale on that? That they're both contenders and they're going to have to go through each other at some point? How are you getting to that conclusion?
On that point, my point is I don't see an Overeem Verdum fight in the future. A Stipe one, maybe. Just maybe. Obviously, if Verdum wants to get back on top, he has to go through Stipe. Stipe's got to go through everybody else. But he'd have to go through Stipe. This might be just me staying on the Ngannou bandwagon a little bit more, and I see him coming back. I just see them facing off maybe a little bit down the line. Verdum wins this fight, and then Ngannou takes it. Does Ngannou face Overeem at that point, or does he face Verdum?
That's a really interesting fight. Ngannou versus Verdum, very interesting fight, because as much as you want to say that Ngannou was exposed on the ground, and that's fair, he was. That's where he lost the fight. Verdum doesn't have that same skill set as Miocic to put Ngannou there, or at least to put him there whenever he wants. That's an interesting fight. I don't totally know if I agree with you that that's the fight that they'll go make, but I got no problem with it. I can tell you that much.
I can see it coming. I smell it. If both of them want to get back on top eventually, I feel that one's coming up pretty soon.
I hope you're right. I'm on board. Fans will be too. That's a cool fight. If they both win, that's a cool fight. No problem here. Guys, did you know a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car? Removing excess weight from the car will help improve its gas mileage, and placing a key fob on your chin will increase its range. Weird, right? Well, ready for one more tip you might not know about? TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million vehicles, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid, so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy a car, new or used, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Jacob, you got any final thoughts?
No.
Well, boom. Let's call it. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Enjoy the show. Thank you all for listening. And until next Wednesday, for Jacob, I am Chael. And you, of course, are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, podcast listener, this is Rob Cisternino. I'm the Rob, and Rob has a podcast, and the new season of Survivor is just getting started, and we've got new episodes for you 5 days a week. Join us for interviews with your favorite past Survivor players and this season's losers right after they get their torch snuffed. Listen free to Rob Has a Podcast, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. And if you like the show, why not share it with a friend or leave us a rating and review on iTunes?